Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate Keenan.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Russell's four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bonesaw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck Yerlaw, big dirty tricorder.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to say it, just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Bit of a change of pace this week to kick us off here on Low Blows, because the past couple of weeks we've come out at the start of the show being like, oh, the lads, it's Paddy's Day, and then we're like, oh, we beat England, Ireland's deadly. Even last week, we were quite excited, an extended double show reaction to the Ireland match as it was progressing in Serbia. Even in defeat, we were quite excited about the prospect of the future. Then on Saturday, Ireland went out and lost to Luxembourg in possibly one of the most pitiful international performances in the history of Irish sport, I would go as far as to say. So, to get kicked off here, on less than proud to be Irish this week, but hopefully just for this week, edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Corporate Keenan in the house as always. Guys, what's the most embarrassed you've ever been to be an Irish wrestling fan? Katie, we'll start with you.
So, like, I generally don't get embarrassed by wrestling because I'm like, you know, this is the path I've chosen for myself. It's been 25 years. I've embraced it. But when I do get embarrassed is when I bring non-wrestling fans into my wrestling bubble. And, like, I was trying to think of specific incidents, but it's things like, you know, when you're, I think I've talked about it before, when you're watching things like The Big Breakfast and a wrestler comes on and your ma calls you into the room and it's just, like, something horribly cringy, or, like, you're watching The Den and, like, you know, John Cena is on, but you're watching with your mates and they don't watch wrestling, and then you just get really embarrassed because they know you do watch wrestling and it's real. Just that kind of secondhand embarrassment, or, like, my dad used to bring me to, like, you know, like, WWE live stuff, and, like, there'd just be some gimmicks, or there'd be, like, there'd just be some really cringy matches or gimmicks, or just, and you'd just be sitting there like, I made you pay money for this and I am so sorry, like. But, like, yeah, so, like, I don't know if there's a specific one sticking in my head, but I generally only get, like, secondhand embarrassment when I have other people with me.
I've had a few incidents where, like, you'd be out and about with someone and, like, it's very cool. Like, if you're out, say, I've been on a date a couple of times. I remember I was on one particular date. It was like a first date, and then we're walking through Temple Bar, and it was just a coincidence. It was totally coincidental. But I saw, like, two or three different people who, like, listened to the show or watched Fight Factory or something like that. And we're just like, hey, Rick. And then, like, the person's like, who are you? Which is cool. But then other times, like, you get, like, the person that stops and talks to you, and it's like the one person that you're like, oh, I'd really rather you didn't know, like, I'd be okay with this conversation, but, like, someone's listening. But if we're talking specifically Irish wrestling, I'm just going to sum it up in three letters: DC Dub. That was something that was not great for anyone involved, because, like, the problem with it was, like, and it's not even like the shows or anything like that, because there was a lot of good talent on and there was a lot of good content, because they had good wrestlers. So, like, regardless of whatever the booking or anything was, it was fine, but like they advertised quite heavily, like on YouTube and stuff like that, which meant that like muggles could find it. You know what I mean? So like I'd have people, and this was just more secondhand embarrassment because I knew people who were wrestling with them, and they'd like show them their videos, and then they're like, "What's that video?" And it's like, "Don't look at that." And it's like two people arguing or three people arguing that they're each the 50% owner of the company, and it's like, but that's 150. We got it. We're gonna just leave this now. So that wasn't a great one as far as being an Irish wrestling fan. Keen, I know it's probably been a tough week for you as a huge Irish international fan, so I don't mean to kind of kick you while you're down, but what are the moments you think of that have made you embarrassed to be an Irish wrestling fan?
I'm actually doing all right, but just thinking about this question, like, one thing that I used to be like really proud of was the fact that like Ireland had like, you know, one of the best kind of like wrestling scenes in the world, particularly for its size. And one of the things is that like within like the Irish wrestling community, like everyone knows the Irish wrestlers, obviously. But when you like take your best wrestlers and you put them on kind of a bigger stage, they're kind of like representing you and representing like your scene. Mm. And like I don't like name names or like, you know, like send for people directly because that'd be kind of like a bit bad or whatever. But I remember like one of them took on this wrestler from Scotland in like this big match, right? It was like a big like title match, and they're like representing Irish wrestling against like against an outsider that had come in like challenging for the title under the impression that, you know, they would do their job, they would show that Irish wrestling was like the top of the heap, they would defend their title and they wouldn't get caught up with a roll up and lose the title to an outsider before a pandemic. So we never even got the belt back either. I mean, I don't know, but you know, it was just a little blip that kind of, you know, embarrassed me a small bit.
You are getting so creative with these now. I don't even know they're hitting till halfway through.
Took me a second as well. I was like scanning through the entire Irish wrestling scene before I'm like, oh, it's Katie.
Even when he said Scottish wrestler, I was like, oh, I can't wait to go off air and ask him who this is.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to name names. I was like, oh, yeah, I just assumed, like, oh, they're going to know straight away what I'm talking about, but I guess not.
But yeah, I need to forget, when in doubt, always assume Katie Harvey versus Sami Zayn. And I like, no matter what.
It's gas because I'm watching Impact right now, and like, the Good Brothers lost the titles to Finn Juice. So like the tag titles, like the Impact tag titles aren't an Impact anymore. So it's like a big sort of thing they're doing over there. I'm like, we did that first. That was there. Stole that from us.
I don't think we meant to, though. I think it was just... Katie just didn't kick out. The roll-up of doom.
Roll-ups are a legitimate, you know, thing that happened.
Don't. They are a legitimate move. You can do them in SmackDown. Here's the thing, though. If you have any, like, wrestling video game, it's the one move that everyone can do apart from a lockup. It's not a finisher, definitely not a title changer. Oh, never forget. Guys, some weeks you come out here and we're like, oh, what a week in wrestling. What's last week? It was an absolutely crazy week. So much stuff happened. This week, stuff happened, and I guess we're going to talk about it. It's one of those weeks where I think it's like the calm before the storm of WrestleMania, because we're just 10 days until WrestleMania weekend, and the wrestling world is just like holding fire on everything. There's not much going on at all. However, we will try and dissect what we can from it, talk about the good and the bad and the news from the week. There was some interesting news that we will discuss. I noticed in the Zoom chat we have here, Jimmy Malloy is asking Keith Hanley how worried he is now. That's because all I've told Keith Hanley throughout the week is, you're in the wrestling news. You are being discussed personally. You're being named and you're being discussed, and I've given him no other information. So Keith has just been sweating for the past week that he's about to somehow be outed in a wrestling scandal. We will be naming and shaming Keith later on, I can assure you. That is still to come. But guys, like I said there, we are just 10 days away from WrestleMania, and for the first time ever, Low Blows is running a full-scale WrestleMania party, except virtually. We are WrestleMania-ing from home this year. It's going to be great crack. I cannot wait for it. Last time we did it for the Royal Rumble, it really added to it, and I hope you guys can join us. I hope everyone who was there can join us again, and I hope more of you as well were kind of encouraged by the great positive feedback that we got from people as well, who were there tonight. It's going to be great crack. I cannot wait. We're doing not one but two nights of WrestleMania. And we haven't really spoken about what we're going to do in the party side of it yet. So I'm going to basically tell you everything you need to know now. On Saturday night, what I'm thinking is Saturday is kind of on a wrestling weekend there. That's the night where you get like excited and you start like getting pumped for it and kind of you're buzzing. So what we're going to do is like very similar to the Royal Rumble party, we're going to have a very special exclusive edition of Ask Low Blows on there. So guys, get your questions in and I want your A game because it's a bumper one. It's like the kind of show we did during the pandemic where it's going to be a bumper episode and we're going to talk for a while and go in depth. So guys, if this is where you bring your A game of questions, so the next time you hear Ask Low Blows after this week, it'll be the WrestleMania special, so join us for that. It's going to be live and as well, like I think the Rumble one was special because everyone was buzzing for the Rumble, so I think everyone's going to be everyone's going to be on a good buzz and it's going to be a great night. And then also we're going to be doing the return of our Kahoot table quiz, something else that was quite popular from the Rumble. We're going to be doing a WrestleMania table quiz on the night as well, so that's going to be great. On Sunday though, I think it's going to be a bit of a different atmosphere because the second day of a wrestling weekend there, you know, it's like the buzz that you had at the start, not that it's worn off, but you're just kind of, you're in the middle of a marathon, if that makes sense. So you're kind of more chilled and laid back and you need to kind of be built up again. So what we're going to do is we're going to do something very, very special, and we're going to do a WrestleMania rewatch special. So that isn't just going to be, we're going to like rewatch a WrestleMania altogether. But what we're going to do is we're going to have some names and faces from the Irish wrestling scene come on. We're going to watch matches with them. They're going to select the matches. So they're going to select the playlist and they're going to talk to us about why this is their favorite WrestleMania match, how it influenced them both as a fan and a wrestler. And we're just going to have a good laugh as well. I can exclusively reveal that selecting the matches, and we're going to reveal more people as the week goes on and the matches that they picked, but I can exclusively reveal that the first two names on the list, first of all, it's going to be an absolute treasure trove of knowledge, experience and laughs as well here on Low Blows. He's no stranger. He's practically the fourth host of Low Blows. It's the one and only Mr. Small Package Phil Boyd is going to be joining us to talk about his favorite WrestleMania match. And then in an interesting and slightly different one, someone who's never been on any of these Zoom calls with us and someone who hasn't been heard from in Low Blows for a few years. And then even when they were heard from on the Low Blows network, they hadn't been heard for a few years before that. Now they get to sit in a Zoom conference with you guys and talk you through their like expertise of the professional wrestling industry and their knowledge, and just give their different perspective as well, because they're not from this era, which is your first hint. And also another hint will be that recently with Sheamus and Drew having their big feud, there's been a lot of Irish whip wrestling nostalgia, which has personally brought me back obviously to an important time in my life, but also it's got a lot of people thinking about the old days. And it's got this person who wants to be a part of WrestleMania weekend and have a laugh. So ladies and gentlemen, I can exclusively reveal that the second person joining us on WrestleMania weekend to talk us through their WrestleMania match will be none other than the ladies' hero. No, it's not Dave Zero. I don't know if he's still alive, to be perfectly honest. I haven't talked to him in years. It's the Heretic Red Vinny, an absolute legend. And if there was an Irish Wrestling Hall of Fame, he would be in it. One of the first big stars of Irish pro wrestling. And like I said, an absolute mine of information and knowledge. So it's going to be great. It's going to be class. Get to kind of rewatch classic WrestleMania matches, but with a brand new twist. I cannot wait, and I hope you're all involved. Guys, if you're subscribers, it's all free, same as these Zooms are. So just come along on the night and chill out. Get your few drinks, join in the chat. Then, of course, you're going to be able to watch both nights with everyone in the chat, and you're going to be able to chat to them and kind of like share the WrestleMania experience. Even though we can't be in Buskers, we can still be together in this way, but from home. Both nights we're going to be doing that as well. If you're not a subscriber, don't worry, this isn't closed off to you the same way that Low Blows on Zoom is. You can still join us for just €5 on eventbrite.ie, so less than the price of a pint, to help us cover some expenses that we have, and then you have not one but two great nights of entertainment, and you get to make a WrestleMania weekend. You get to feel like it's WrestleMania even if we can't be in Buskers together, which hopefully we will be back to next year. Anyway guys, that is what's to come. Let's talk about the week that was. Let's get this show on the road, because Key and Katie, are you ready to do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love like making Keane have to sound really enthusiastic off the cuff because yeah. Let's get it underway by talking about the news because it's time for
Queen versus Keane.
Queen versus Keane because my two co-hosts are good friends, but they're even better enemies. The Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey, versus the Keane of Irish Wrestling, Corporate Keane. Every week, what we do to discuss the news is we pick the top five news stories that are piquing our interest. I'm going to ask my co-hosts to come up with their lightning hot takes. We're going to put 30 seconds on the clock, and we're going to give points for punditry, and we're keeping score of the weeks that they win as they go along. So far, we are locked in a dead heat after Corporate Keane absolutely steamrolled last week. So it is at 5 apiece for the year. Katie, is it your time to get revenge? We shall see. Corporate Keane, Europe first. In the first story, the Wednesday Night Wars are ending. That's not the first story. The Wednesday Night Wars are ending because WWE announced that the next week's edition of NXT will be the final Wednesday show as they are set to move to Tuesdays from April 13. Do you think this will be better for NXT, or should they have toughed it out and tried to turn things around? The question is, did NXT bottle it, Corporate Keane?
I think this is beneficial for NXT because, yeah, they absolutely bottled it. They couldn't fucking hack it. They couldn't hack AEW. Team AEW for life. You can call it eat resting because they took all the fucking L's. Unlucky NXT. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly. You couldn't handle it. Could not handle it.
I eat wrestling. Interesting strategy to get kicked off. Katie, what do you think? Did NXT bottle it?
No, I don't think they bottled it. I mean, like, this is the third show for WWE. Like, it's not even their priority show. I mean, it makes more sense to spread it out because, like, we'll never have a true Wednesday Night Wars like the Monday Night Wars because, like, wrestling is too accessible now. You can watch it on too many devices anytime you want. It's not like you have to consciously make a decision to pick a show. So they're not bottling it. They're just, like, reading the room of how people consume wrestling these days.
Okay, fair enough. Very diplomatic answer from Katie Harvey and a very fair point. Unfortunately, diplomacy and fair points don't get you the win in Queen versus Keane.
Yeah. Give me that point.
1-0 Keane. Save the diplomacy for the serious chats. You're playing for points here, right? Question two. Andrade this week revealed that Charlotte was pulled from TV after she was medically suspended for high HGC levels, which can indicate pregnancy. And Charlotte released a statement backing this up, saying that she took issue with the way the information was relayed rather than the info itself. So, like, basically WWE texts her going, can't wrestle Raw Monday because you're pregnant. And that was how she found out she's pregnant. She's not pregnant. This is not true. Like, but they just decided to tell her this and in this way. Between Andrade leaving and now this, is there trouble in paradise though with Charlotte and WWE? What do you think, Katie?
Look, it seems like there's trouble, but honestly, there's absolutely no trouble in paradise because Charlotte Flair has WWE by the balls. She is the most powerful wrestler in WWE, and like, no one would walk away from that. You know what I mean? She could literally walk back into the main event of WrestleMania if she wanted this week. Like, I wouldn't put it past her to be able to do absolutely anything. And you would be insane. There's no other promotion that will let her have that kind of power anywhere else. She would be insane to leave. She's not that silly.
Charlotte, you're back. The question one was just a practice one. You're back in with the hot takes. Charlotte is the most powerful wrestler in WWE. You heard it here first. He kicked Undertaker out of the locker room last week.
Why do you think he retired?
Corporate Keane, Katie, coming out swinging. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's fucked. I think everything's absolutely fucked. I think she's walking out. I think her and Andrade are going to set up their own company, Charlotte Championship Wrestling, CCW. It's going to take over WWE. It's going to be flattened. It's just going to be Andrade and Charlotte putting on banging main events 3 hours a week. Raw's gone. SmackDown's gone. It's over. It's fucked.
A very funny point, but referencing CCW is never going to get you the point here on Queen versus Keane. Point to Katie, one apiece. In the third story, WWE Network and Peacock's greatest 50 greatest women superstar list saw, in this order, Trish Stratus, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Chyna, and Asuka finish as the top five. Is this a fair list, or would you have gone another way, Corporate Keane?
I think there's any list you see that's created these days will always have a historical bias towards the like Trishes and Litas and stuff. But I think 20 years from now, 30 years, even a decade from now, I think Becky and the Four Horsemen will be topping all of those lists. The big history is kind of being made as we sort of speak. So no, I don't agree with the list. I think Becky's number one.
Okay, Katie.
I think the complete opposite. I don't think there's a bias towards the older wrestlers at all. I think if you're including the likes of Shotzi Blackheart and Lacey Evans in the top 50 greatest superstars ever, when they're like a wet day into their career, then that's absolutely, that's not the list to make. There's not enough bias, I think, to the older wrestlers in this. They definitely went the wrong way with it.
Okay, two very interesting points.
We kind of agree though when you think about it. Like we basically said the same thing but differently.
Yeah, you just went around separate directions to reach the same circle.
I had no idea Lacey Evans in the top 50. I proceeded without knowing that, just saying.
Katie gets the points for doing research on the question. I appreciate that.
I read the list before this question.
Fair play. Katie leads 2-1. Question 4. Logan Paul is to be involved in the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens WrestleMania match. Does this make you more or less invested in this match?
Oh, is it me?
Yeah, sorry, Katie.
Oh, sorry, I got distracted with an intense hatred of how much I detest Logan Paul and everything he stands for, and just drifted off into a little thing of like, I can't believe they managed to find the one thing in the world that would make me not interested in Sami Zayn right now. Like, I cannot believe they've managed to pull this rabbit out of the bag. Yeah, honestly, it makes me so much less invested. It makes me actually want to skip the entire match.
Okay, interesting. Corbin Keane, what are your thoughts?
It's a celebrity that I actually know for a change, but I'm in the same boat. Yeah, it makes me less interested. It's the same argument as Bad Bunny and all them. I don't care if it draws eyes to the product. As a wrestling fan, I don't care how many people are watching. I just care if the show's good, and this doesn't make the show good, so I'm against it. Yeah.
Tough. Oh, I hate when you do this, making the same point, especially when it could end the week. To keep the week going, I'm going to give that to Corporate Keane, and it's 2-2, and it goes into a tiebreaker. John Nolan, I'd prefer to give the point to when he says it should have been Logan Bryce.
I think
there
we all agree with that. I mean,
that would have been the draw.
You see, that's very obvious. We were all thinking it, we just didn't say it. You know what I mean? That kind of way. But I appreciate Jonathan for putting that in the chat.
Finally, question 5. American fantasy sports giant DraftKings announced a deal with WWE starting at WrestleMania where players can play pools content for WWE pay-per-views. But does this sound better or worse than Keith Hanley's fantasy wrestling game? Corporate Keane.
Worse, because Keith was actually good. It just didn't make for a good podcast, but it was a good game. This betting on wrestling is a horrible idea. Butch actually sent me a text, because everybody's getting the WrestleMania memories. He sent me a text of what happened a few years ago, whatever day it was, of a friend that texted him saying, €50 on Undertaker beat Lesnar, guaranteed easy money. So betting on wrestling, bad idea. No, don't do it.
Katie, your own thoughts. DraftKings or Keith Hanley?
Can I say neither and both? Because generally games in wrestling are a bad move for me. I'm not very good at them. I don't really understand them, despite how many times they get explained to me. I still try to get excited and caught up in the gameplay, but it just never really quite works out for me. So I just think we should eliminate games for my sake.
Katie, I will give you the point and the week's win if you can explain what Keith Hanley's game was right now.
I can't.
Point to Keane. Keane gets the win. Congratulations. Yeah. Keith, you can breathe
now. That's on me. Like.
Exactly. No, it's all on you. That's why Keane wins this week. Congratulations. Keith, you can breathe now. You didn't get cancelled. You're good to go. Anyway, guys, time to talk about the wrestling week that was. The good and the bad. Starting with the bad as always, because it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Say something stupid. Worst moments of the week. In at number 5, let's talk about NXT UK.
So this is this actually kind of encompasses the American NXT as well. That's really been bothering me. And basically, I just need someone backstage to start checking their dates. And the reason why I'm saying this is it's happened twice now in the last few weeks where they've scheduled massive title matches from NXT UK champions. But while the NXT UK champions are in America also defending that said belt. And it just absolutely ruins continuity. And I understand that NXT UK records in blocks. I understand that. And I understand the difficulties in like coordinating two schedules when you probably don't have overlap of staff. But email exists. You know what I mean? MSN, if you absolutely need it, is probably still there. It's kind of unacceptable because like you've got Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa on NXT America. And then you also have them saying, oh, well, he's going to fly back, face Rampage Brown on the NXT UK special, and then fly back. And you're just like, right, this would be unbelievable in normal circumstances. But when we are in a worldwide pandemic, right, Walter's not flying back and forth across the Atlantic Ocean to defend his belts. And it's just, it's so insulting to our intelligence, and it really bothers me. Like, they done it with the Cruiserweight title as well. And that was even worse because, like, Trent Seven had a 4-month storyline running up to his title match. And you're just like, this literally, like, I am a fan at home on Google, and I understand dates clashing. How has nobody caught this? How has it happened twice in the space of a few weeks? And it's just something so small that they need to check just to iron it out.
What was a sin with the Trent Seven thing was they built that up so huge, and then the week before it was meant to happen, they announced that Jordan was coming back to NXT. So like, you're like, but he's the thing's on Thursday, and you're just like, no, come on, this is ridiculous.
What was worse, and I seen it with Walter as well, is people like being like, oh, I wonder how they're going to handle the jet lag. And I'm like, oh, just
imagine they started like having to sell that, like, Walter is absolutely dominating Rampage Brown, and then he just starts acting a bit woozy, and
yeah,
he's like, whoa, I haven't got used to the new time zone.
he gets to the arena 3 hours late because he hasn't fixed his watch, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't understand. If Rampage beats Walter, wait, I don't know which match is first, but like, If his opponent beats him, does the second match then change opponent, or is it just non-title?
They don't even really address this.
this is the thing.
This is the frustration with it.
Like, no matter what, one match is being spoiled. Do you know what I mean? Whenever it's happening, I'm not sure the exact dates, but whenever, like, whichever happens first, the other match is spoiled, or that match is spoiled by whoever's not in the other match. So if Ciampa against, and we'll get on to number four as well. Like, so. The UK title is going to be on the line on TakeOver, and it's Tommaso Ciampa fighting for it, which is like, you have UK wrestlers on NXT. Like, and I know they did, like, they're like, we've done Pete Dunne against Walter, and we need to build Pete Dunne back up. That's fine. Like, or like, but you could just do it for the sake of like keeping it as like, it's the UK championship. Like, that still matters, because now the problem with what they've done with Ciampa is, they've made it the European title in WWE. Do you remember there was that? And that started out as, in theory, there has to be some European ties to it, which got a bit ridiculous when you had D'Lo Brown like pretending to be European, and he was like, bah, bah, boom! And it's just, but still, there was some effort made to keep it continuous, and you're like, right, it's funny, so I don't care. But like, now that's what they've done with the NXT UK Championship, and the fact that like now anyone can wrestle for it means it's not a special title. Not that it has to be exclusionary, but just keep it within that roster. Do you know what I mean? I don't care if like when they had Chris Hero on NXT UK, he's not from the UK or Europe, but he can fight for it because he's on the NXT UK brand. But like, what happens if Tommaso Ciampa wins? Is he like, right, now I'm going to wrestle in the UK? Like, there
That's the impression I was under.
But there's no addressing of this. There's no kind of, like, that could be cool, and that could be something you get psyched out about, because you're like, oh, imagine talking to Tommaso Ciampa, but we have to do the work. Do you know what I mean? Because we're just like, oh, Ciampa's not winning the belt because Walter's wrestling on Thursday.
But also, you know what I mean? They could just do what they do with 205 Live, where, like, the Cruiserweight champions don't go on 205 Live. It's now just a show with whoever's left over, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's shit. It's all shit. It's the thing. Like, so yeah, no, it's crap. Like, it's not, because whereas they could have had an opportunity if they'd synchronized everything, as Katie's saying, they've just chosen to not. And that's shit. So like, yeah, no, I'm not,
they should have done instead? They should have had Ciampa, right, go after the North American title. And that way, we get to see a once-in-lifetime match I don't think we've ever actually seen before. I think that would have been really, really cool. You know what I mean? Like, champion versus challenger, the dream match.
Yeah, very true, very true. Yeah, no, it's bad. It's the lack of synchronicity and just communicating. It makes us feel like, if they don't care about it, why should we care about it? You know what I mean? If they're not putting thought into it, why should we think about it? And now we're talking about it, and it's just it's shit. Anyway, let's talk about, on in the number three, let's talk about SmackDown.
Right. So obviously Edge won the Royal Rumble. Yeah, he won the Rumble, and he gets to choose whoever he wants to go after. I think it's kind of a poison chalice. Like I would have thought he'd had a chance maybe against McIntyre, but now that Lashley holds the title, it's like no Brandy picks. I think he's got a chance in. I think he's fucked either way. But he chose SmackDown anyway, and like he wanted a one-on-one match against Roman Reigns, yeah, mm-hmm. or a one-on-one match for the title at Mania in the main event. Mm-hmm. All he had to do. Once he showed up and told them, right, we're scrapping at Mania, that's cool, go home. Or, you know, maybe he had media obligations, maybe he had to show up for some interviews, for some, whatever. The talking, the promoting side of things, fine, I understand that. But there is no need to get physically involved between now and WrestleMania. You have everything you could possibly want. Just do nothing. Just do absolutely nothing. I mean, like, at the end of the day, if Daniel Bryan wins, surely that's beneficial to Edge, you know what I mean? Surely that if it's Edge versus Bryan at Mania, that works, or you know, or he gets Reigns one on one. But now it's like, as he said, I mean, it could work to his advantage, but as he said himself, you know what I mean? Like if Bryan taps out Reigns, or if Reigns taps out Bryan, he doesn't need to be involved in the outcome, and all of a sudden there's his opportunity gone. All because he decided I'm gonna be Special Enforcer. Why? Why? Who cares? Like what's to do with you, you know what I mean? Like what Jey Uso. If Jey Uso wants to fuck over Daniel Bryan, so be it. That's none of your business. You know what I mean? You've got your singles match and that's that. And in the end, we talked about it last week, so I won't get into it, but he threw a fucking tantrum. You know what I mean? As a special enforcer. He just threw a tantrum. I just beat the shit out of everyone. It's like, well, now you fucked it. For what?
I haven't thought about it. Well, like, you're totally right.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, look, could you imagine, right? So what do we have at... What's a good big UFC fight that got announced recently? Like Chandler versus Oliveira, for the UFC title. Imagine Chandler before the title fight in a few months, in what, 2 months or a month or whatever it is, he just goes, do you know what? I might actually just fight Dustin Poirier for a laugh just before the title fight, you know what I mean? Or I might like, I don't know, get myself involved, make it a triple threat. I might just make it a triple threat. Will I do that? You know what I mean? He won't do that because he's already got a fight scheduled. There's nothing for him to do besides just get ready for his own fight, you know what I mean? Or again, maybe media obligations, but that's it. And instead Edge is like, no, I'm getting involved, and look what happened. I've no sympathy for him whatsoever.
That's true, like, because Daniel Bryan has a precedent as well for getting involved in triple threats and getting added to Mania main events.
Exactly. And he didn't learn
from
it. He's
a savage third wheel. Like, he is a savage third wheel. He's like, imagine, like, you and Phil are going out for date night, and Daniel Bryan is like, where are we going, guys? And it's like, we haven't got to go out, like, in a year. There's been a pandemic, Daniel. Like, so we haven't actually had to do a date night properly.
And then Phil would fuck it by beating him up, like, just like him.
And Daniel Bryan's, like, sitting there in pain, like, now you have to bring me.
Yeah.
Amazing third wheel action there by Daniel Bryan. You can respect it. Like, when a guy is good at something, like, he sticks to what he's good at, you know what I mean? And his history is now on his side. So well played, Daniel Bryan, but not a good strategy by Edge. In number two, I want to talk about something that I've kind of brought up, and I've had a few Twitter Karen rants about it in the past. I want to talk about the experience of watching AEW on Fight, because when I tweeted about it, I've got a lot of people that have talked about it as well. And look, I'm not like, look, I've run a kind of wrestling VOD service, so I appreciate the challenges that come with it. And I'm not someone who's looking, like, I love the idea of Fight, like, where it's just multi-promotionals and you just subscribe directly to them and it can be used on Chromecast and stuff like that. The problem with it is, and it's not just on Fight TV, by the way, it's just watching AEW if you live in Ireland. The problem with it is that, like, here's what the experience is like, okay? First off, it's not reliable in connecting to your Chromecast, okay? Now, this is real tech geek talk, but it's an actual pain when you're trying to live through it, okay? The problem is it's not reliable when you're connecting to your Chromecast or whatever you're watching it on. I tried watching it on the trial they have for Samsung Smart TVs because I've got one, and that doesn't work. That works even worse. But then it's also not like Netflix where it doesn't remember where you were. So if the connection knocks off, it doesn't remember where you were. So you can't just press resume. So you have to start from the start again. Then you've got to try figure out how far you were into the show to find it. Which when you watch live shows on there, it's actually not a problem because usually with a live show, you're watching like a pay-per-view or something. So there's no breaks. But when there's 3 minute breaks and it's awkward to get it, it's an absolute pain, like, because you have to skip through the breaks. But then when you try and skip through the breaks, it doesn't remember that you were playing it, if that makes sense. So in a way, if you're doing the same with Netflix and you're skipping through it, when you log onto your Netflix app, it'll remember where you were, like in the show, or it'll just show you, you can just click a button and you can kind of scan through it with your finger. Like, Fight doesn't do that because it doesn't remember that you were Chromecasting. So you have to then go into your Google Home app and scan through it manually that way, which is just an extra 3 or 4 steps. And then, like, as well, like, it's not made better if you're watching it on TV, because the problem with it comes when, like, if people are watching it on ITV4, which it's on, first off, if you don't have, like, Sky TV, you can't record that. So, or if you have Sky TV, you can't record that because ITV isn't available in their main package, which isn't AEW's fault. But again, it's something that, you know, you should at least take into consideration availability when you're kind of picking a TV subscriber. But also as well, the problem with it is that, and again, this is more ITV4 than AEW's fault, but the show can overrun sometimes, or it's not live. So, like, say the snooker is on and AEW doesn't start till 15:15 because the snooker ran long. If you record it, which you have to because it's on late night, then it won't, it'll cut off the main event because it'll only record the 2-hour slot that it's supposed to be in. So that's the experience people are having. It's an absolute nightmare to have to watch, is what I'm saying. If we've kind of been a bit too techie there, the take-home point is it's a nightmare to watch, and this is a big wrestling promotion. New Japan is much smaller over here, and I imagine has a much smaller audience on this side of the water and much less demand. And it's much easier to use through New Japan World. Like, it's a piece of piss to use New Japan. It's actually overly accessible, like, because you download a New Japan app and it actually makes your Chromecast experience a lot easier. Whereas AEW is an absolute nightmare, and it's because Fight is not intuitive. And, like, we've given feedback to Fight over the years directly. Like, I've got onto them both publicly and privately saying, like, we had problems with parties where, like, they were airing a New Japan live show once and we were airing it at a party, and every few minutes it just kept cutting off. And it was absolutely insane that I was like, this is a big New Japan show. It was a New Japan UK show that they had a few years back. And it's like, this is a big New Japan show and it's not a New Japan World because you bought the exclusive rights, but now nobody can watch it because it's not working. And it just, every few minutes, the feed just cuts out. It's not fit for purpose. And I appreciate the theory behind it, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's unfortunate, but it's the reality of the situation. So Fight either need to get their shit together, but also promotions need to get on them. They need to stop rewarding them. And as a result, it's, of all people, it's NWA who have to suffer. Like, for me, they have to suffer anyway, with my experience, because I'm not signing up to watch NWA Power. I loved NWA Power when it was on YouTube last year. Loved it. But I'm not signing up to, like, have that experience with another wrestling weekly wrestling show. I've no problem paying for wrestling. I want to pay. And I could stream NWA Power. But again, I just don't want the hassle of that. And I do want to support them. So I'm just not watching it. I'm just going, no, I'm not dealing with that. Because now, if you go on to Fight at this stage, I subscribe to AEW and it's a part of my, like, it's a weekly kind of chore that I deal with to watch Dynamite because I like the product. But if you now go on to Fight with your weekly TV show and try to do what AEW and NWA are doing, you're just writing me off as a fan, because I can't do this every week. I'm legitimately stressed thinking about watching AEW, because I'm like, this is not going to be a happy experience because I'm going to be annoyed every 15 minutes. And that's not what you want your fans to think of with your product. So AEW, please sort it out. Either put pressure on Fight or, like, move network over here. Make it accessible. Virgin Media are in the wrestling business now. I'd love it if Virgin Media got AEW. That'd be class. But also as well, it's not
TG Carr.
TG Carr. On Will to Ray for E for the W.
No, but I want, like, all the promos dubbed off scale, get like SpongeBob.
Neil to Gohintok. Amazing. Yeah, no, get anyone, seriously, anyone where you can actually watch it and not have to think about how you're watching it all the time. If you're thinking about how you're watching it, it's a shit experience. And that is the reality with AEW. But it's not the worst moment of the week, because I feel like this will be a bad moment for one of my co-hosts and a potentially devastating moment for another one. Katie, talk us through what happened on Raw, and then we're going to get Corbin Keane's reaction to how he feels about what happened. Katie, what happened?
So what happened on Raw is one of the worst single episodes that I have ever watched from start to finish. I cannot believe we're like a week and a half out from WrestleMania, and this is what they have done to half the storylines over the span of what they did on this episode. We'll talk about the small thing first. Basically, they're rehashing the Bianca and Sasha storyline with Asuka and Rhea Ripley, because next week we have Rhea Ripley and Asuka versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
Wow.
That storyline didn't work a few weeks ago with Sasha and Bianca, so I don't know what Egghead backstage thought, you know what we're going to do this week for the girls? Like, it baffles me that this was the train of talk coming to Mania. Because, like, there's still no outright contenders for Shayna and Nia's titles. Like, they've literally just been involved with singles champions now for months on end. And it's really frustrating. So yeah, that's just one setup that really, really bothered me from Raw. More shite with Braun and Shane. We don't even need to talk about it. It's the same old, same old. But the main thing that had me riled up from Raw is they broke up the Hurt Business. And I know I'm late onto this bandwagon. I know Keane was driving this bandwagon for the last year. but I was on it. I was on it for the last few weeks. This just makes no sense to me. And I know sometimes I can be guilty of not having the kind of foresight with wrestling storylines. I get too caught up in the moment and I don't think about like where this leads. I just don't honestly understand where this leads right now. I don't understand how they're presenting Lashley as a champion. I don't understand breaking them up. I don't understand the ending of Raw, which we're going to talk about, which is they broke up the Hurt Business to involve Baron Corbin. And like, that's, I can't believe I'm saying that 2 weeks from WrestleMania, you know what I mean? So the reason why I don't like the way they're presenting Lashley as champion is like, Lashley has been a heel, but he's been like a dominant heel. You know what I mean? He's just like, he has this faction, but you know, he can fuck you up by himself. But what has happened the last 2 weeks is he's put a bounty on Drew McIntyre's head for people to take Drew out of the WrestleMania match. And to me, this just doesn't make sense with how they've been presenting Lashley up until now. He doesn't need anyone to take out Drew McIntyre. He's done it himself. You know what I mean? He's massive. He's scary. He doesn't need someone to do his dirty work. And what annoys me is the storyline that they're using for Lashley now is what they should be using for Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon should be the one putting the bounty on Braun's head. You know what I mean? I gave it a few weeks ago that Shane was the one who physically got the upper hand over Braun Strowman. That should be Lashley. I just feel like they've got the two storylines completely mixed up. They should be switched over. You know what I mean? Because Shane isn't your big physically imposing heel. And Bobby Lashley is not your coward who needs someone else to do his dirty work. And the whole thing is just upsetting me greatly. Like, why not just let them run with this cool faction for a couple of months? Why take the tag titles off the boys so soon? Why, like, yeah, look, I don't know how many ways I can say none of this makes sense to me.
I don't know. Like, I understand why they took the tag belts off them, because they're like, we got to give New Day something. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kofi Kingston, has had a WrestleMania classic. So he should, if he's available, he should be on the card in some way. So I don't mind that. And I also thought the Hurt Business are going to be involved in the title match. So that's going to be something, because they still get to
see. I do mind, like, I don't think the New Day need the titles to do the feud they're doing right now.
Yeah, but like, to justify having, like, when they probably do the mats and like look at the card as they have it laid out and they're like, we only really have room for one tag team match, so it kind of needs to be for the belts, or we can't just ignore the belts, you know? So I like, I'm not saying I like or agree with the logic, but I understand the logic for that.
We've two nights though. Any other year I'd agree with you, but this year we've two nights.
Yeah, and I've no problem. Like, it's not even that I'm saying this is the right cause. It's at least I can see the justification for it. I can't see the justification for this. This for me, and Keane, we're going to get to you, because I know this is obviously your baby, like, that's, this is your family that's fighting in front of you. But like, the thing that brought it broke my heart twice. You know why? One, the Hurt Business, there's no need. And it's just again, I'm like, you know, you've upset Kane. Are you happy? You've upset Kane. Are you happy with yourself now? But yeah, as you say, Bobby Lashley, like a few weeks ago, he was the big tough wrestler and Miz was the coward. Like they've just completely flipped his story because it's like they forgot what story they were telling a few weeks ago. And they're like, was there something to do with someone being a coward? Wasn't it with Bobby Lashley? Yeah. So we'll just continue whatever that was. And then they just forgot what it was and just kept writing it, and it just ended up mad disjointed now. But also as well, there's another stable at war with each other in this that I don't think anyone's realized, because a few years ago in Low Blows, I don't know if you remember, there was a stable that I personally championed, and they were never given an official name, but I used to consider them the Stag Party, because do you remember they won a Survivor Series match and they were like lads from a stag party where they came into it not really knowing each other, having much connection, but they were on the same stag party, and then they left the weekend when they won the Survivor Series match as the best of friends there ever was. And it was Bobby Lashley, it was I think Rusev might have been involved, but obviously he's not here, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin. And I'm like, I don't know why this works, but it does. They just seem like mad douchebags who like would just be like, bro, amazing, cool, you drank a can in 7 tries, you're a boss. And it works for me for some reason. But now we have to see the stag party at war as well. Like, it's, there's so many civil wars, my heart can't take it. Corporate Keen, you must be an absolute mess. How are you feeling about all this?
I hated that faction. Look, I actually did. I did remember it. Believe it or not, yeah. No, do you know why I remember it? Because I went on Twitter before I saw Raw, and I saw a picture of, like, Lashley and... It was the three of them. It was Lashley, Corbin, and McIntyre celebrating, but with McIntyre's face had an X over it. And I was like obviously, I assumed he put it up because, like, he hates McIntyre. I had no idea what Corbin's, like, what the relevance was. I thought he just happened to be in the image. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a random one to go with, but all right, send your message however you wish. I agree with Kate in the sense that Raw was shite. I don't even know where to start. So, you know the way, like, I watch it on Watch Wrestling, so you know the way it's divided into parts? Like, I think the entire part two I skipped through because it was like, sorry, Katie, but like, yeah, like the Miz and Bad Bunny. then, like, I like the New Day and I love Omos, but like, I'm not into like they've clearly got the match ready and there's nothing interesting to do until the match happens, so that didn't interest me. I had obviously there was like Riddle, Sheamus, I'm not into. It was McMahon and Braun, that wasn't it. There was so much there that I'm just skipping, like my fingers sliding across the screen. But I did watch the entire main event story play out. I actually enjoyed the hit on McIntyre. I really enjoyed, I loved the fucking segment where he's in the chat, like, McIntyre is such a cunt. He's literally, he's going around to be like, you're starting. It's like, no. Like, and even, and it's like, and
he's almost a psycho kid from your school, the schoolyard. He's just like, do you want to fight? I'm literally just playing Pokemon it's cards like, with my friends. Leave me alone.
You're starting on AJ Styles and Omos could batter you on his own. AJ's there with him. Like, you can face them man to man, eye to eye, whatever if you want, but like, they're still going to kill you if they want to. But, and it was just, I thought Drew came across quite insecure. He came in and be like he what he has is like a really sound locker room that decided, you know what, we won't take out Drew McIntyre. He is a colleague that is unethical. We will wait until our opportunity comes. And instead he's like, oh, why aren't you fighting me? And he had the audacity to grab Humberto Carrillo and throw him across the floor like that. What the fuck? And then, you know what I absolutely adored about that part as well? Angel Garza just attacking him out. And not, like, the only person in the entire room who attacked him was Angel Garza. Yeah. And it makes sense because he went after Humberto Carrillo's his cousin. I don't think that's why he went after him. But just a little thing. And I love seeing lads like on main, because I pay attention to main event, as I've mentioned. I might not mention it on air, I don't know, but I pay attention to main event. So it's cool to see the lads on main event getting a bit of get all their different characters and how they react to this situation. And Ricochet saying, look, we'll do it in the ring, I can get it done. Which raises another question. If somebody beats Drew McIntyre in a one-on-one singles match, right? Because Mustafa Ali, obviously, he stepped up as well. Fair play to him. But obviously, the weight difference is too much. He was never going to take out Drew McIntyre. But let's just say he rolled up Drew McIntyre and won 1-2-3, yeah? Like, just cleanly in the ring. He just beats him. But, like, McIntyre is not out. Like, he just beat him. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fair one-on-one match. He gets a win, but McIntyre is still healthy and ready to fight. Does that count as, like, does Ali get the title shot or what?
See, like, this is what doesn't make sense as well, because it's like last week he had the big DQ match at Fastlane and then made jokes about how grand he was the next night. Like, it's such stupid logic to say, like, someone take Drew McIntyre out. Don't have to Tonya Harding him, you know what I mean, to take him out for WrestleMania. Like no one's going to do it in a regular match. Like, him and Sheamus have been battering each other with stairs for 3 weeks, and like, he still showed up to work every day. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So a lot of emotions, though. Yeah.
How am I more emotional than you over this storyline? I don't get it.
I'm staying calm, okay? I'm staying calm and calculated, because I've got a lot of thoughts. I'm trying to be positive and negative at the same time. You know, weigh them all up. I think. So first of all, with Bobby Lashley being scared, first of all, I think Bobby Lashley can take Drew McIntyre. He shouldn't be scared. There's no reason for him to be scared. But he's obviously thinking, a year ago, I fought Drew McIntyre, I lost. I only took him out because he had already had a match. Who did he fight when Lashley took him out? Was it
Sheamus, wasn't it?
Was it Sheamus? Either way, he had a big match. Lashley took him out after, you know, McIntyre's tired, he's hurt. So in Lashley's head, he thinks, I can't take out this lad one-on-one. I find it interesting. I know, like, Rick, like, you kind of view that as kind of a lazy thing. I thought it was kind of a bit, maybe I'm giving WWE too much credit, saying, oh, it actually came full circle. Now he's the Miz and McIntyre is the Lashley. You know what I mean? It's kind of come full circle like that. I find that interesting, but it is bollocks, because the Hurt Business, oh my fucking God, they split up. Jesus fuck, I hate this. I think, like, this is just one of those things where it's like, This is why I buy into the whole, like, Wednesday night wars, you know what I mean? This is why, like, people say, I hate when, like, people are, Team AEW or Team WWE. I find it fun, okay? I never got to experience the Monday Night Wars because I was a toddler, right? Now I get to experience my own sort of watered-down version of that, and I'll take it. I'm Team AEW passionately, and this is why, right? Because, as like, I understand, like, both promotions have their good and their bad, but, like, I've never once seen, like... Like, after this happened, the amount of people I saw on Twitter saying, look, WWE are doing this because they don't want anyone to be too popular, and they don't want anyone to eclipse the brand or eclipse the company. Like, I've never had AEW put a show out that was so bad that people were like, they're self-sabotaging. Like, they're actually as shit as possible. You know what I mean?
That's a defense.
people unironically believe, like, WWE, like, and genuinely, I'm almost with them. I'm like, dude, like, it's actually like they want it to be shit. Like, Shane and Braun, like, this has been awful, start to finish. Orton and Fiend has been shite, start to finish. But they find something cool on Raw, something cool on the least cool show on the planet in the Hurt Business, and they're like, no, we can't be having that. That's and it's like, oh, and don't get me wrong, there was cool elements to it. I thought Shelton Benjamin sticking up for Cedric after they had their own differences, for Shelton to sort of take Cedric under his wing specifically and look out for him as if he's kind of like his sort of protege kind of thing. I thought that was very endearing. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But it's like, they're not on their own. They're not gonna get to where, to anywhere. They're gonna go back to square one on their own, you know what I mean, even as a tag team. And it's not because they're shite wrestlers, it's just how it's gonna go. I would like to think that they might reunite, or it might just be a temporary thing. I don't think it is. I'd love if it was. I'm going to keep that door open, but I don't think it is. I think they're going to split. The reason I'm a little bit more calm than I would be than you might think is because I did see some tweets from MVP that I thought were quite interesting. So the first one is that Baron Corbin's not in the Hurt Business. That's 100%. He said on Twitter, he's like, Baron Corbin is not, capital letters, N-O-T, yeah, not in the Hurt Business. That is a game changer. Baron Corbin is one of my least favorite wrestlers in the world. Not like on a personal level. I mean, I don't hate him in real life. I just find him boring. So delighted that he's not in the Hurt Business. He's just kill the vibes. You know what I mean? It'd kill the fun of it. I wouldn't be looking forward to any of their matches. I wouldn't be looking forward to their segments. Even I'd be looking forward to MVP and Lashley and all, but like, it'd suck the fun out of it for me a little bit. I wouldn't be as kind of a diehard fan. Also, an MVP was very quick to mention this, and I thought this was really interesting. If Shelton and Cedric are gone, and I really, really hope they're not, again, I really, really hope they're not. But he did say that, like, the recruitment's not over. You know what I mean? The Hurt Business is MVP, Lashley, and whoever they say is good enough to be the Hurt Business. You even saw him with Ricochet before Ricochet went out to batter Drew. Well, they didn't batter Drew McIntyre. He got killed. But, like, when he went out to, like, face Drew McIntyre, he was still there. He was still saying, like, you know what I mean? like kind of implying the offer, the door is still open kind of way. And Ricochet's been talking very kind of, oh, looking myself in the mirror, you know, that kind of talk where they, before they start doing mean things to people, you know what I mean? So Ricochet could be, I mean, that could be a game. I think Ricochet could end up joining the Hurt Business. I think there's like, there's still like, there's no reason why other really good wrestlers who don't have anything or really good wrestlers who aren't good talkers can't also join the Hurt Business. You know what I mean? I think Shelton in these, in on Raw, struck me as somebody who's not a very good talker. And I have all the respect in the world for Shelton. I think he's fucking excellent. But when I listen to his, you know, him tearing into Lashley and squaring up the MVP and all that. And even then though, like, huh, it's kind of, I understand, like, this is why, like, this, I hate the Hurt Business splitting up more than anything, but the segment itself, I thought, like, Shelton Benjamin turning around to MVP and say, don't talk to me like, don't talk to me like I'm a kid, is actually kind of, like, I thought that was interesting because he's actually been wrestling longer than MVP. MVP yeah. is obviously the veteran of the group and the leader and the mastermind behind it all, but he is a, you know, he's been at this longer than MVP.
Yeah.
And for them to come out and try and basically for no other reason it's just embarrass them in front of everyone. Yeah, they could have had that discussion backstage in private. So the angle, like the segment itself wasn't bad, but I just hate what it means. I think Cedric Alexander, again, I think he could be ready to break out on his own. But I mean, you don't need to split from, you could have a good singles run without splitting from your faction. You know what I mean? Like every what?
Look at New Day.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I wasn't even thinking New Day. New Day is a great example. But like even in every other promotion, like look at every promotion. Like look at AEW, look at Japan, look at fucking, you know, everywhere. Everywhere is utilizing factions because there's no reason not to. You know what I mean? You can be in a faction and still be a successful single star. You know what I mean? And if you're not a great talker on your own, what is the benefit of just breaking out from a faction? The reason this pisses me off is because I just get such strong heavy machinery vibes off it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, remember like Otis was like, you know, around Money in the Bank time, like everyone, like he was quite what's the word I'm looking for? Like on a bit of a streak, you know what I mean? Yeah, a lot of momentum behind him. And even Tucker, like, sure, he wasn't like, you know, the most popular singles wrestler in the world, but like as part of that storyline when it looked like Mandy Rose had stood him up and like, you know, like when he was sticking up for Otis, a lot of people, you know what I mean, were like, yeah, come on, you know what I mean? It gave him something to do and something people got into. They had a really cool match at the Elimination Chamber as well that I remember. And then they split them up and for what? Like Tucker, by the way, again, as somebody who pays attention to main event, Tucker's not even on main event. He is genuinely dead last on the food chain and he's not shit. You know what I mean? And then you look at Otis. What's Otis doing? You know, he's in a tag team with Chad Gable and they're heels for some reason. I don't even know how. I don't know what happened. I must have missed that part. But like, they're heels and they're doing nothing now. They're underneath the Mysterios, Ziggler and Rude, the Street Profits. They're, you know what I mean? They're just another team. And it's like, that fucking did nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he split them up for nothing. And like, when people always say like, oh, WWE did this and they don't have a plan. I always don't react initially because I'm like, right, well, I'll see how it plays out, or you know what I mean, how it pans out. But it never pans out well, you know what I mean? Like it usually is. Yes, they just did it and didn't have a plan and now they're off. Like I'm hoping they have a plan. I'm hoping there is more to this. But if there isn't, oh man, Shelton's back on main event in a month, you know what I mean? At best. Yeah. And I'm hoping, and Cedric in particular is way better than that. You know what I mean? So, like, fuck.
Sheldon's had his time, but Cedric was just, this was his time. This was his moment. And, like, it was a moment where, you know, you could either have these people, like, who you're paying anyway, like, in a situation where it works, where they're, like, effective and they're useful and they're valuable to you, or you could just, like, not. For the sake of maybe at best a matchup backlash. Do you know what I mean? Like, and that's probably like the limit of where this is going to go. It'd be like Lashley against Cedric Alexander with MVP and Shelton in each corner. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's probably as good as it's going to get if they are split up. The only thing that kind of keeps me hopeful is the weird, weird timing of it. Like, two Raws before Mania is a weird time to make a storyline about something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't see the logic and I don't see what it's building to or leading towards. So it leads me to think that either they're getting back together at Mania and this is all just a big manipulation on MVP's part and let him somehow interfere.
Give me that.
Or they're going to cost Lashley the belt at Mania or something like that. Like, there's going to be some hijinks.
Don't give me that.
Like, it's weird timing. Like, you don't do something like that before the main event of WrestleMania unless it's going to be relevant towards the match, because you've enough on your plate. You have to build up like Lashley against Drew. So why would you just divert from it randomly for this? So It has to play in. There has to be logic.
I would say, yeah, I don't believe the Hurt. Even if Shelton and Cedric never come back, I do believe there's a future for the Hurt business with new members. Yeah. So I don't believe it's dead. I don't believe it's gone. Like, MVP will always be there and will always be able to offer something and excel as a manager. I don't think they're not going to use him. Like, because the thing is, if he's a wrestler, it's like they'll put them on main event, they'll forget about them. But as a manager, you kind of have to do something to do. You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm being optimistic. I hope that I'm hoping there's a future for the Hurt business, ideally with all four of them. But I mean, even if it is new members, just something. MVP is too good to go to waste. He's literally the only good part of Raw besides. Yeah, he's the only good pair of Raw.
Sad times. But sure, look, we'll get more positive. Jonathan in the chat says, kind of more shows WWE don't actually realize what parts of the product work and what doesn't. They had a superb triple threat set up and they end up having Sheamus fight Riddle for no reason. I'd even go and say, it wasn't even a superb triple threat set up, because you wouldn't do a triple threat, because you're having the SmackDown main event be an even better triple threat. So there's no point having two triple threat titles matches. You had a great one-on-one match. You had a great feud, a WrestleMania feud between Drew and Sheamus. It just happened to end the fast lane. But I think the reason that they're doing that is because Sheamus is going to win the belts. I mean, I hope it's the reason that they're doing it, because they're like, Sheamus, you put in a shift. Here's a WrestleMania win and here's a belt and you get to carry a division for a while, and we'll circle back and see what we can do down the line. It just hasn't fitted here, because to do that, we'd have to leave Lashley out altogether or whatever. I'd say a lot of this does come down to mats and the mats and the mechanics of the card, and what the other matches are and so on. So I'd say that's the reasoning for that. But this, let's hope. We may think differently of it in a couple of weeks. We may be sitting here going, that was actually really effective. Well done. You got me, WWE. We're sitting on the podcast going, this is fucking ridiculous. And actually, it ended up being pretty good. So who knows? They have time to turn around yet. Speaking of turning around, let's talk about the few positive things from a very, very quiet week in professional wrestling. Let's talk about the good, because it's time for... This is awesome. Best moments of the week. In at number 5, we have... This is a surprise to me too, guys. AEW, it's me. This is... I'm going to be honest with you straight up, guys. This is a threadbare. This is awesome. We are all of us, every single one of us are reaching here, because there wasn't a lot of good on this week. You know, AEW, I like AEW too when I can watch it. And, you know, there's always, it's all the worst parts of AEW, apart from the really stupid bits like the wedding and kind of a lot of basically involving Miro recently, tends to be at least somewhat decent. So Dynamite wasn't a bad show by any means this week, but there just wasn't a highlight from it apart from Kenny Omega did a promo where he kind of explained why he broke up with the Young Bucks. And he's like, it's one of these things where a good heel promo is where the heel believes they're right, even if the audience doesn't see it or feel that way, where you can see that they at least believe they're right. Because he's like, you know, When we were doing the Elite, I was always kind of doing it for yous. And I held my career back in AEW. Like, this is him addressing the Young Bucks. He's like, I've held my career back in AEW, to kind of support yous and support being the Elite and so on. And that makes sense. It actually makes sense of Omega's character trajectory. When he was a babyface, he was kind of just in the tag team division and doing funny, silly stuff rather than having the 6-star classics that we know he can have. And he slots in so effortlessly to being the AEW champion, because he's championship material, and we know that. And it does raise a question when you see him languishing in the mid card for the first year of AEW. Why did they not just give him the belt? So it makes sense of that. And he's like, you were never about me though. I was always a person that raised you up, and then you guys focused on the Young Bucks yourselves. Well, now I'm done. Now I'm focusing on me. Now I've got Don in my corner, and now I'm focusing on me. And it's really good and really effective. And this is where AEW are really strong at booking. Just creating the tension where you don't actually know what the end result is going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I had to bet in fantasy book, I'd say that, at Double or Nothing, we're going to get, you know, the Good Brothers against the Young Bucks, and this is going to be part of that feud. But the feud is really between Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And I'm like, how's that going to play out? Like, this is like leading to an all-in match. Do you know what I mean? Down the line, like, this is going to be 6 months down the line. And it's very similar to when they did the same thing with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, because you're like, where does this fit? Like, what? How does this turn into a match? And we still actually haven't got there with Hangman and Kenny Omega. That's probably going to be who Kenny Omega eventually loses the belt to, you know, and they're building Hangman back up. But the long-term booking that they do and the motivations they give the character and the way they'll have these promos, but they won't, like, you know, WWE, if they have a really good promo, they replay it 6 times on SmackDown afterwards, and then they replay it 6 times on Raw, and then they're like, we're going to explain what that person meant in the promo where they explain their actions coming up on Raw, you know what I mean? And then they just have them go out and do it again, and they beat it into the ground. So when something good is done, that by the end of it, you're just like, I don't even like it anymore. Whereas AEW, just throw away these promos and just let them sit with you. And I bet we won't even know until like 6 to 8 months down the line what this actually was building towards and what it meant. But they'll just let it sit there, like the Hangman Kenny Omega thing. And it was just a really good bit of television that eventually will end up being used in video packages. And we'll be like, oh my God, they've been telling this story for 6 years. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I like about it. I'm a big fan of long-term booking. I'm a big fan of like giving characters genuine, legitimate motivation and having them just express it. And as a result, when they're kind of playing off real life things that we've seen, as well as making the booking make sense, they're also, it hurts because it feels real to us. And we know, obviously, look, the lads are still probably mates. They're working on being elite together, blah, blah, blah. This isn't really happening, but it feels like it is in the moment. And it feels painful. And it feels because it feels real. And everyone's buying into it. So an excellent promo by Kenny Omega. The highlight of like what was not the best Dynamite, but like even the worst Dynamite is still pretty decent watching. So that's in at number 5. In at number 4, talk to me about the good from ROH.
Yeah, Ring of Honor had a pay-per-view. I didn't actually know it was on. And then I saw that it was on. I was like, oh, shit. Might as well give it a watch. It was all right. Like, there was Ring of Honor are like, one of the only shows that still does dead silence. You know the way, like with the Thunderdome, and then other shows have fans, other shows have like kind of small piped in crowd noise, whatever. They do dead silence, which I'm still not into. But they had some good matches on there. But one match that stood out to me was Bandido Flamita and Ray Horace in a triple threat. Basically, they're the trios champions, I think. They have a lot of titles. I find that hard to keep track. But I think they're the trios champions, but they're not getting along. Flamita is not on the same page. He's fucking raging with Bandido and Ray Horace. I haven't really been watching, I think, long enough to know what, like, why. But it's an issue, all right. But they decided anyway to scrap it out instead of just, you know, talking and being bitchy to each other. You know what I mean? Scrap it out in the ring, and then after the match, you can shake hands and be friends again. Do you know what? Really solid logic. I don't know which one of their ideas it was, but like, fair fucks to whoever came up with that, and fair fucks to the others for accepting it. I think that's actually a good way to, because I mean, if you're the champions, you need to be on the same page. So fair fucks. But it was a great match. In the end, Flamita didn't get the result he desired, and it didn't work. He didn't shake their hands. He stormed off, which is a bit childish, a bit immature, in my opinion. Not very happy with that. But the match is great, and what it reminded me of was Bandido. I actually completely forgot about this man. Like, genuinely, completely, like, over the course of the entire pandemic, I did not think of Bandido a single time. And the pandemic has been over a year now. And then, like, before that, even, like, a few months before the pandemic, I don't think I thought of Bandido either. But he's fucking excellent. You know what I mean? I remember when he was at OTT. He did absolute bits. I'm just a really big fan of his. I just forgot how good he was. And like, this match is a great example of how good him's, not only Bandido, but obviously Flamita and Ray Horace are as well. So yeah, just big fan of all that. The show itself, I'm trying to think like what else happened on the show that might be worth a mention. There's a new faction in Ring of Honor as well. Currently there's what are they called? You know, Roosh?
No.
Fuck.
Sorry. I haven't followed Ring of Honor in so long.
Oh, he's big in Mexico, I think. I thought he'd be in like New Japan or one of them. I don't know. But he's got like a heel faction, right? This is something I love. This ties in what we were talking about with Raw, about like how cool factions are, right? Okay. So they're the bad guy faction, they're the villains, they're the evil people, right? I thought Who the fuck else is in it? There's like, I think Dragon Lee's in it. Kenny King's in it. I'm a big fan of Kenny King. And I was saying this. Did I say it on No Blows? I think I did, right? I said it somewhere else. Fucking Kenny King, right? I would love, especially now, now that Shelton and Cedric are out with a Hurt Business, I would love using WWE. I don't think he will be. He looks to be getting pretty stuck into things in Ring of Honor. I'd imagine he has a contract there. But like, because then we've got a proper beatdown clan reunion from TNA back in the day. Lashley, MVP, and Kenny King. Oh my God, that'd be so cool. But it won't happen.
WWE,
but like,
love their TNA throwbacks.
They do. They do. Yeah. I mean, they've got LA Knight as well in there. Oh man. Anyway, yeah, sorry, getting sidetracked. My point is, that'd be cool. But he's currently in a faction, Roosh, Dragon Lee, Kenny King. There's another lad whose name I can't fucking remember, but they're the heels, they're the bad guys, and they were taking on Jonathan Gresham's faction, the Foundation, who are trying to win all the belts and, you know, purify each division, make Ring of Honor what it used to be. And they won all the belts except for in the main event. They weren't able, Jay Lethal wasn't able to get the belt off Roosh, who's the world champion, the champion. And so the bad guys have that title, the Foundation of every other title except for the women's one. And after the fight, after the result, Roosh won, the bad guys won, but then out comes Brody King, someone who had a good guy who had issues with the bad guy faction, right? He comes out and he beats the shit out of Roosh and Roosh's faction because I jumped ahead. Him, he shows up, he's outnumbered. He's like, oh, fuck, what do I do? But he has a plan. Tony Deppen comes out, and that's basically like he's an up-and-coming wrestler who's been kind of on the indies for a while. He's got a good reputation. Tony Deppen comes out, backs him up, and it's like, right, now we're gonna go after the faction. And the faction are still outnumbering them, so they're kind of laughing. And behind them, out of nowhere, Homicide and Chris Dickinson show up, and they beat the shit out of the bad guys. Then the bad guys are getting fucking destroyed. What is the name of their faction? I can't remember. Anyway, they're getting the shit beaten out of them, yeah? And you're thinking, like, okay, here's a new faction. That's pretty cool. They're also a good guy faction. But then they turn it into Jonathan Gresham or Jay Lethal. I can't remember who was in the ring at the time. And it looks like they're going to, you know, extend a hand as fellow good guys. But no, they beat the shit out of the Foundation as well. So it's like, there's kind of like this sort of gray area. You know what I mean? It's like, they're not team good guy. They're not team bad guy. They're a team neutral guy. Shades of you know what I mean?
Kaji.
Yeah. Which I really, really like. It's an interesting faction. I'm actually familiar with all four of these men. They're all very talented. I don't know any, besides Eric Redbeard, as he's now known, and Allison Kay, I don't know any other independent wrestlers in America. I genuinely, like, Chris Dickinson, I think, was the last one. They've now signed literally everyone. Like, everyone is on a contract somewhere. But the faction stuff is really interesting. I like factions. So that's cool going forward. And Ring of Honor, it's definitely, it's not, like, the issue is time. There's a lot of wrestling. Even now, like, even though we're still in the pandemic, there's a lot of wrestling. And this is before, like, Irish wrestling comes back and, like, European wrestling comes back. But if you're somebody who's, like, you know, obviously, like, the pandemic, you might not, you know, have a job right now, or you might have loads of free time on your hands and you're looking for extra wrestling, I actually wouldn't say Ring of Honor is that bad. Like, it's worth giving a shot, though, I suppose.
Yeah, something extra to watch if you're looking for it. In at number three, speaking of wrestling, you may only watch if you've got the extra time. Let's talk about NXT UK.
I was literally about just to follow Keith's point, being like, yeah, actually, this is kind of in the same vein.
We all thought it, just one of us had to say it.
NXT is never really bad, you know what I mean? Like, this is a grand episode. Like, everything was like good to, like, hovering around good, like, but I did want to talk
hovering around good, what everyone there dreamed of being described as when they got their contract. Oh, I've always dreamed of being like in that crowd, like in a WrestleMania ring, and just people sitting there thinking, yeah, you're generally hovering around good.
that's okay, that doesn't sound like a fair comment when you take it out of that context. Like, one of the problems is it is only an hour, which means they sometimes try to cram too many people, too many segments, and too many storylines into an hour, which can be a little bit like frustrating. Mm-hmm. Or you might be really into a storyline and then you only see those people every 3 to 4 weeks, so like it can be a little bit frustrating that way. And I feel it kind of hurts the momentum on storylines that I'm enjoying.
Yeah.
But one of the storylines I am really enjoying is Ilya Dragunov, and I've talked about him before on this, where he wrestled Walter, and he's almost having like a feud with himself at the moment because he can't get himself back to that top spot. And he seems to be just like losing his cool constantly. And this match was just another really good match and good continuation of that. It was a no DQ match, with Sam Gradwell. And I can't really remember the setup to it. I think it was just Sam Gradwell being a cheeky fuck backstage. But whatever it was, it resulted in this. And it was just like, I find NXT UK does gimmick matches really well. I don't know why, but the last few I've watched, I really, really enjoyed from there. They just made like good use of the weapons. Like Ilya's selling is unbelievable. He actually sells like a chair shot, like how a normal person would sell a chair shot. Like if you got hit with a chair in real life, like you're walking across your office and then bang, someone takes it with a chair. Like you drop and scream.
What'd you do that?
Like it was really nice to see him kind of selling like the gravity of all the shots, because I think we are kind of desensitized sometimes to seeing stuff like that in wrestling. Like we've seen Lana go through a table how many weeks in a row, and it takes away the impact of going through a table. So I really appreciate that they went out of their way to use the weapons in a good way and make it seem like they're really hurting each other. Like there was just one spot where they took out like a cable from under the ring and start whipping each other with the cable, and I'm like sitting there like genuinely wincing, and I turned to Phil and I was like, oh, that would actually hurt, you know what I mean? Like because yeah. You know, so we know certain stuff doesn't hurt, like when you see gimmicked weapons and all, but like that genuinely would wreck you.
Yeah, no, like back chops, cables, belts, anything like that. That's like I'll see someone like going face first into thumbtacks or fire, I'm like, yeah, whatever, that's kind of cool. I'll see someone getting hit with a belt or a cable or something, yeah. I'm like, ah.
funny you should mention back chops, because I love callbacks in matches, and this is something that Ilya Dragunov has started calling back to all the time. It stems from the Walter match where he cannot handle being chopped in the back. He just loses his cool. So they did it in this where Sam Gradwell chops him in the back. He loses his cool, freaks out, boom, boom, boom. Later on in the match, Sam Gradwell goes to do it again, but stops himself at the last second and just takes like a deep breath and then turns him around and chops him. And I love this kind of storyline that he has triggers. You know what I mean? That he has like just things that will just make him erupt. And again, this match ended in no contest where he snapped and he just wouldn't get off Sam Gradwell. So similar to the way we've seen him, I think was in a match of Jack Starrs a few weeks ago. And it's just, the frustrating thing is, like I said, like I just don't think we're seeing this storyline often enough for it to build like really good momentum. But like I really appreciate where he's going with his character, and it's something so different and so interesting to what a lot of people, not just in NXT UK, are doing, but are kind of doing across the board. You know, I'm interested to see where this is going to go next. I'm interested to see, is this going to propel him back to the main event? Because I think NXT UK doesn't have the strongest main event scene. So this is a really good way to build someone believable to take down Walter, I think. I'm really excited with how it's going.
Ilya is a great wrestler to watch. If you've never checked him out, he is someone that, like, he grabs you. Do you know what I mean? I was kind of flicking through the channels last week. I think I saw the end of this match. I can't, like, I'm 99% sure I did, because, like, I've definitely watched Ilya Dragunov wrestle within the past week, because I'm like, I don't know if it was just before SmackDown and BT Sports are just showing clips or something like that, but like I looked at it and I'm like, it is so good. Like the way he wrestles is so distinctive. Do you know what I mean? Like you see wrestling on like the TV, and sometimes like if you're not, it'll just wash over you. Do you know, if you're not paying attention? But like when you see him wrestle, he'll do things in such a weird way, or his movement is just so unique that you have to look. You have to be like, what's he doing? Do you know what I mean? But I do like the idea of someone who sells like you'd react in the real world. Do you know what I mean? Like someone gives you a gut punch, you're like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, like for someone so physical and over the top, he is very realistic. Like there was another part where he was going to drop a stairs on Sam Gradwell's head, and Sam Gradwell was just like, no, mate, no, I've got kids just like you. Like this is too far. This is just wrestling, mate. And he stopped and he put down the stairs. And I'm just like, you just don't see that in wrestling where someone's like, ah, this might be too far. Like when you've got Randy Orton setting people on fire, and then this lad's like, oh, stairs might be too much. You know what I mean?
Even in movies and stuff, it's like, I've got kids. The guy never goes, you know what? Good point. Touche. Go home. Treat them to something nice on me. Very considerate. Interesting. Ilya Dragunov, the working man's wrestler. Jonathan picks up on her point from earlier and says, I've always dreamed of doing enough. In at number two, let's talk about NXT. Again, this is just... So the Wednesday Night War is coming to an end, but they're signing off with some strong promos. And last week, I kind of highlighted the cheesiness of Scarlett Bordeaux trying to, like, do in her orgasmic way kind of cliches, which didn't really work to kind of be the first big promo of the Balor Cross feud, which, again, like, there's not much you need to do because this feud kind of sells itself. Balor's an absolute badass. Cross is an absolute badass. Balor won and has defended the belt legitimately, so as a legitimate claim to champion. Cross never lost the belt. There you go. Boom. Instant main event. I think we're all in. And now, if anything, it can only go downhill because, like, you know what I mean? It's like we're at the peak of this. So they have to somehow come up with a way of, like, just filling time and, like, building up this feud while, like, making us, like, while not ruining as much as we already wanted. But they did so in a really effective way this week where, again, this is just... I love story. Again, this is just right up my alley. I love storylines where the promos work into how the match is going to wrestle. In particular, one that reminds me of is Kenny Omega against Hiroshi Tanahashi, the main event of Wrestle Kingdom a couple of years ago, where Tanahashi is like, Omega is a stupid wrestler. He wrestles for the fans and he wrestles to kind of get highlights and big moments, but, like, he doesn't have a coherent strategy. He's not building towards anything. And, like, kind of there's a both in-ring context where it's like, this is why I'm going to wrestle the way I'm going to wrestle, and this is how he's going to try and come at me. But there's also a meta context where Tanahashi is essentially making the point, you're just like, you're a spot monkey, do you know what I mean? Whereas I build stories and stuff like that, and I appreciate the art behind pro wrestling. And there's that battle that's going on at the same time. And they tried to do something similar here where they're explaining how the match is going to go, because Finn kind of, like, came out and he spoke about his evolution as a character. He confronted Karrion and spoke about his evolution as a character. And the exact quote was, I only became the wrestler I am by controlling my emotions. And you can actually see that when you think back to him, like, kind of, you know, celebrating dressed up as the demon. And you're like, yeah, you were a bit over the top in hindsight. You know what I mean? But now he's more measured. He's more controlled. He's more a thinking man's wrestler. And you can see the difference. He's wearing, like, plain kind of gear. He's not focused on the theatrics of it all. He's a thinking man's wrestler. And then he made the point across. He's like, you wrestle with your emotions, and when you do, you're sloppy. You're vulnerable. And then you think of how Karrion Kross wrestles, and you're like, yeah, actually, he always wrestles angry. And it's going to be like, there's the story for the match. I know exactly the way the match is going to go. I now also believe that Finn has a chance, because Kross has built up so much on NXT that you're like, well, he never lost the belt, and technically Finn only won the belt because this is what we're thinking about the match. Finn only won the belt because Cross went out injured. So this is where Cross gets his belt back and he gets to have his run. But now I'm like, okay, right. So now they're actually convincing me the other side, where for both of these men's characters and past to be respected, this is maybe match one of two or three where maybe Finn's going to win. And, like, this is where Finn teaches him a lesson, or there's going to be an evolution of character and we're going to see a different type of Karrion Kross show up. But either way, it's specifically based around the match. It's telling me both men's motivations. It's presenting a contrast between the two of them where now I actually am like, oh, these are actually, like, that should be what a promo is. A promo should, like, the best promo will make you feel like these two are actually the perfect wrestlers to wrestle each other. Do you know what I mean? That's the end result you want the fan to think, where they're like, holy shit, like, they're perfect. There's a contrast there, but they're similar in some ways. And now I need to see them fight to see who wins between this contrast that they painted. Really, really effective stuff. And I was a really big fan of it. So more of same, please, NXT. You don't need the bells and whistles. These are two men with big dramatic entrances and stuff like that. And that's perhaps what they've become known for. But when you just strip it back and let them talk and let them give them motivations, That's what gets us hooked in. That's what makes us fans. I am now buzzing for this match. After putting it and say, after putting the feud and say something stupid last week, they've got me back with one promo. Excellent work by our own Finn Balor. And also Karrion Kross, carrying the load as well. Carrying the load. I'm sorry.
I don't get it.
But excellent.
I don't get it.
I'll explain after the show. yeah, but excellent work. So well done to both. But in at number one, I'm gonna level with you guys. I make the choices, so we all just like kind of put our little submissions in for the end of the week, and I'm the one who orders them from 5 to 1 usually, and like, there'll generally be something that'll stand out that I'm like, that's the best thing of the week. This week, you know, I feel like we've done really well to make it sound like a lot of interesting stuff has happened. But like earlier on today, when we were talking about it, we're like, ah, I don't know, it's been a tough week. There hasn't been anything really stand out like for any of us. And then I saw what Katie Harvey had put in number one. And I'm like, when there's no outstanding number one, I feel the best way is for us to talk about 4 legitimately good things and then have Katie try to justify her pick as the best moment of the week. Because Katie, I know you believe in this and I know that you will be able to put up a fight here. But in at number one, let's talk about what Corporate King called the worst Raw he can remember, or something to that effect, as the best thing of the week. In particular, let's talk about Miz and Morrison's grand premiere.
I don't understand why either of you are treating this as a joke, because it is genuinely the best thing I watched in wrestling this week. I have watched this video 5 to 6 times today. I have started to learn the dance routine. And as a special treat to all our Zoombers on WrestleMania week, Phil Boyd has agreed to record the video of us doing the Hey Hey Hop Hop dance. exclusively for the Low Blows WrestleMania party.
amazing. That's the draw. Sold. It's sold out right there.
Oh, it's number one now, isn't it? I don't know if it's a testament to how weak Raw was this week that I do genuinely think this was the best part of it. And I genuinely think that Bad Bunny and Miz is going to steal WrestleMania on the Raw side. Because it just made me laugh, all right? It just entertained me. It was the only time, apart from maybe the game segment, which I know Keane also didn't like, between New Day, Amos and AJ Styles, it was the only segment that I genuinely enjoyed watching Raw. That I actually sat there and I kind of put down my phone and watched and had a little giggle at. Like, nothing else on Raw made me do that. And if that doesn't justify it being the best of the week, like, I really, really don't know what else does. Like, I mean, the video is class as well. It's actually a well-made, well-produced track. And look, I know not everyone gets the Miz and Morrison's humor, but it is very much my humor. Like, I was the kind of person who had every episode of The Dirt Sheet downloaded onto a fucking USB back in the day that I would plug in and rewatch. And I used to love when they did like rap battles with Crime Time, and they do like the movie skits of Batman and stuff. They had the Batmiz skit. Like, I love that kind of humor. And like, it was just all over this. Like, there's so many little bits when you watch the video that's just funny. The Miz is just charismatic as fuck, and anything he does is hilarious to me. Even little things like saying like, oh, we shot this exclusively in Puerto Rico on location, like, you know, big budget. And then the opening shot is them in the Thunderdome. Clearly the Thunderdome. You know, that's the, and then like, you know, they're watching the video and then they're in the ring doing their dance, and it's just, I just love it. It's a great way to build this feud. And like, I just enjoy it. Okay. And judge me, ask me questions, do what you want. Your floor is open.
Corporate Keane, and the ads, you haven't been a fan of this. What did you make of the music video?
No, like, I skipped it. Like, that's the thing. I didn't hate like the game segment. It didn't interest me. So my finger just went whoop across the screen. The other thing just slid across. So I can't say that maybe it was an absolute banger, but I didn't see it. I'm not gonna see it. I'll never see it. So I'll be seeing that at WrestleMania. So that's gonna happen.
I did appreciate how like they had like the Thunderdome audience in the background, but like it was clearly not like watching live, so it was clearly just like random shots, and like there was people bored in the background and stuff, and it was just, it was so low budget and cheesy, like at times, like where they just were doing Microsoft Paint backgrounds. It was almost like a Corporate Keen like video, to the point where it was like there was just deliberately cheesy shots in there that I'm like, okay, that's pretty hilarious. You know what, Katie? I respect that you've like, you know, you've come out swinging. I knew you would. And you've made your case. I think the best thing to do now would be just to leave it to the people. Let's see what they said in the chat. John Nolan says, lockdown has officially gone too far. Keith Handy says, veto. James Malloy says, first song back for the Low Blows parties in person. There you go. Okay, so we have people like they're split, but no one is outright shaming you. But I think we're all looking forward to seeing Katie Harvey and Phil Boyd do the hip hop, hey hey hop hop video at the WrestleMania party. I'm sold on that, and that will be on WrestleMania week the best thing that we see. I think we can all agree on that. Guys, we are just about done for today. Slow week in wrestling, but we hope we could help you get through it. It will be bigger for the next few weeks, because next week we have our big WrestleMania preview show, where we're going to be going through all everything that's happened in the week. The Hall of Fame will have happened by next week. It's going to be a weird WrestleMania week where we'll be in the middle of it, as it's kind of as we're doing the show, and we're going to be previewing the weekend ahead. NXT, of course, on, and then there's an NXT UK takeover. So there's loads and loads to look forward to. 7 days of wrestling straight. We're going to be on social media for a lot of it as well. So we hope you can join us for certain. Like I booked a week off work, so I'm like committing. I'm going to stay up and watch everything live as much as I can. So really looking forward to it. Then of course we have the WrestleMania weekend, where Low Blows is going to be with you both the Saturday and the Sunday. And then we have Low Blows 300, which is the 7th anniversary of this very podcast, and you best believe we're going to be doing some stuff for that, so that's going to be good. You won't want to miss out on it. Guys, thank you so much for listening as always. Thank you for joining us in the Zoom, and thank you for joining me to discuss the week that was Corporate Keen and Katie Harvey. We'll be back on Friday with Ask Low Blows, but in the meantime, that Corporate Keen, by the way, you went back to your artist roots on YouTube.
Yeah, I just a tutorial just to help people like how to draw their favorite wrestlers. That's all it is. So it's there. It's there if you want it.
Amazing. The toast me absolutely killed me. It killed me stone dead. Fantastic though. If you want to learn how to draw some of your favorite wrestlers, subscribe to Corporate Keen on YouTube. If you haven't already, what are you doing? Like, come on, it's free. There's no reason not to. Free and hilarious content. Most weeks, if not every week. So check it out. Guys, that's all we have for this week. Back with Arsenal Blows on Friday. But until next week, for Rick Nash, for Katie Harvey, for Corporate Keen, that's the bottom line. Because Lobo said so.